A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven,
in
concentrate
time
on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 347. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are talking about solid geometry. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello. Yes, solid geometry is a 25-minute TV play. It was a co-production of ITV and Channel 4, broadcast originally in 2002. And it's an interesting combination of writer, director, and cast for us to talk about.
Yes, it is. And it's a challenging little puzzle piece about mathematics and obsession and three-dimensional geometry and the obsession with that and what it might be the key to. It's also, I think, an interesting technique piece as a short film.
And, interestingly as well, it was suggested to us by two of our listeners. Thank you to Alison and Nick for suggesting it. And as I say that, at the moment we are discussing our schedule for 2021. So if you've got any shows that you think we should be covering and haven't done so as yet, do please get in touch on BritishInvaders@gmail.com or on the Facebook group.
Absolutely. And I will remind people that we normally stick to covering things that are available on DVD or things that are available in download or streaming format in an official way. We are avoiding covering shows that are only available because someone has put up a recording on YouTube unofficially and that sort of thing.
Okay, let's get to solid geometry.
Absolutely. So the setup for this is about Phil, a young, successful advertising executive who has quite a wild lifestyle along with his wife, and a delivery of boxes comes to him, things that belonged to his great-great-grandfather, and it has some things that are disturbing.
Yes, absolutely. And soon he is moving away from his crazy lifestyle and getting obsessed with solving the riddle that's hidden in his ancestors' diaries that he's received. And it is a sort of short tale about obsession in a way, because it causes quite a lot of problems for him. He gives up his job. There's a financial bequest which allows him to give up his job for a while to concentrate on this. And it also causes an increasing divide in the relationship between him and his wife. So, you know, as I say, this is a tale of obsession in a way, and taking an attempt to solve an ancient puzzle a bit too far.
Yes, absolutely. So we should talk about the characters. Phil was played by none other than Ewan McGregor, known for the Star Wars prequels and many other things, real movie star. Phil is this wild and crazy guy, you know, the lifestyle of lots of clubbing, lots of drugs, lots of sex. We see a lot of this really intense stuff. And he sort of becomes a changed person when he gets these diaries from his great-grandfather and collection of objects from his great-grandfather. And we see him change in response to that.
We do indeed. And of course, this will also affect his wife, Maisie, played by the actress Ruth Miller. We see them meet in a club in the opening sequences of the film. And then we know from Phil's narration or voiceover that they get married very shortly afterwards. She shares his sort of rather hedonistic young lifestyle. But interestingly, as this film progresses, she seems to be struggling with her own problems. She's getting strange dreams that she tries to tell Phil about. She's also getting more interested in sort of what we might call mystical knowledge and tarot cards. She's talking about leaving her current job and going to do something with the environment. So she's a woman who's having her own problems. And without giving too much away, problems that Phil doesn't pay an awful lot of attention to, Brian.
Yes, there definitely is a dynamic between the two of them that is dealt with in this 25-minute television play. Patrick Murray, played by Jonathan Watson, is the ancestor, this great-grandfather of Phil, a mathematician who is interested in geometry and some strange theories about geometry and things relating to the physical world and so on.
And also, Patrick Murray is also interested in the theories of another scientist mathematician, the sort of slightly enigmatic Dr. Voss, who is trying to find out the secret of the geometrical plane without a surface, if you can get your head around that concept. And the interesting note for us, of course, is that in the flashback sequences, Dr. Voss is played by none other than Peter Capaldi, the 12th Doctor himself. I have to say, he's not in it very much, Brian, but it is nice to see him, of course, because he's such a great presence on screen.
Yes, it's always worth watching Peter Capaldi. He is very compelling and entertaining in every role we've seen him in. And just for British Invaders, we've seen him in quite a few now.
Indeed, yes. So onwards, as we say, we start in the clubbing scene and we see Phil and Maisie meet and start their relationship. As you've said, Brian, there's a fair amount of casual drug use. There's a fair amount of sex in this program. But that soon seems to be replaced by Phil's obsession with Murray's diaries. And he's soon narrating parts of the diaries to us. And of course, as you say, Brian, we do get a bit of director's technique then, because those narrations give us some flashback sequences. So it soon changes to this, as I say, this one chap in his flat becoming obsessed with his great-great-grandfather's diaries.
Yes, absolutely. And we see the flashback sequences of the writing of the diaries and sort of giving us what was happening in the past that Phil is now learning about. And as this is happening, we see that his relationship with Maisie is deteriorating and things are becoming quite seriously divided between the two of them.
Indeed, yes. You know, she's got her own problems going on, as we've said. He ignores them. She seems to have, I think, given up on her job as well, or at least is talking about giving up on her job. As I say, there's a lot going on for her, and as this 25 minutes progresses, Phil is increasingly ignoring her and just concentrating on his puzzle. And soon his study is filled with papers, geometric tools, he's folding paper, he's exploring this idea that we hear in the voiceover that dimensionality is a function of consciousness. Again, another phrase which probably looks good on the page, but it's slightly hard to get your head around, I think, Brian.
Yes, indeed. And this is part of the style of this show, is that you have these big ideas about the real world that are being mapped into these geometric kinds of things that he's working with.
Challenging stuff.
Indeed. So getting into our production notes, Solid Geometry is based on a short story by the award-winning British writer Ian McEwan. McEwan is best known for his novel Atonement, which was adapted for the film directed by Joe Wright, starring James McAvoy and Keira Knightley, but also had his Man Booker-winning novel Amsterdam, and he's well known for that as well.
And you may remember that last year, 2019, Ian McEwan published a science fiction novel called Machines Like Me, which he claimed did some interesting things with literary science fiction. And I looked this up this morning, Brian, to check on what he actually said. In a Guardian interview, he made a comment about science fiction only being about spaceships going faster than the speed of light and anti-gravity boots and not having any room for human dilemmas. And of course, those comments provoked quite a lot of pushback from science fiction fans and science fiction writers.
As they should.
As they should. And I would say that Ian McEwan did sort of roll back on that a little bit. He did an interview on a science fiction podcast where he sort of tried to say that his remarks had been taken out of context and that he read a lot of science fiction and that there was a lot of space in science fiction for human dilemmas. But he did cause a little fuss about it, although I don't suppose it did the book sales, or at least the publicity, any harm, I suppose, Brian.
Yes, that falls in the all publicity is good publicity category, I suspect.
Yes, when you've got a brand new hardback novel out. Anyway, Solid Geometry was a short story in his First Rights, Last Rights, that's R-I-T-E-S Rights, which was a collection he published in 1975. And interestingly, was originally picked up by the BBC, intended for a production in 1979 with the screenplay written by Ian McEwan himself. But that production stalled, never happened, did it, Brian?
Yeah, the BBC abandoned that production because of concerns about the description of one of the items in Patrick Murray's boxes, which was a jar containing a preserved penis. And apparently this was something that they felt would be unsuitable for transmission at that time.
1979, the BBC, yeah.
I guess, and apparently this was enough of an issue that the entire production was abandoned. So it was in 2002 that it was revived as a project for Dennis Lawson to direct as part of a series called Newfound Land.
That's right. So this was, as we've said, a co-production of ITV and Channel 4, ITV's Scottish or Grampian regional TV at the time. It was produced for those two TV networks by Gil Parry. And Dennis Lawson, as you say, Brian, best known to us as an actor. We've particularly enjoyed him in Jekyll, the Stephen Moffat series that we did quite a few years ago, and also in the Ghost or the Haunted House series Marchlands. This time he's not acting, he's only writing and directing. I suppose he has a science fiction credit that, well, it's a pretty good credit, actually. He is, obviously, he's Wedge Antilles in Star Wars, and recently, very briefly, reprised that role in the Rise of Skywalker movie.
Yes, he did play Wedge Antilles in all three movies of the original Star Wars trilogy, and is a bit of a fan favorite because he was one of the only sort of small rebel characters who made it through all three films.
There you go. And of course, we should also mention he is Ewan McGregor's uncle, I think, Brian.
I think I have heard that, yes. According to IMDb, Lawson only has three credits as a director, all of them for TV productions and all of them short one-off productions, Solid Geometry being the middle one. He also did The Bass Player in 1999 and In the Mix in 2010. Lawson did use McEwan's original screenplay from 1979 with his own updates, changes, and rewrites. They also brought in some original music composed by Nick Bycutt, and that helped give the production a style of its own, I think.
And it is, as a production, there's a certain stylishness to it, but there's also a certain stripped-down nature to it. As we said, it's a very short TV play, and mostly, apart from the flashback sequences and the initial clubbing sequences, it's mostly set in Phil and Maisie's flat. So I don't imagine it was a huge budget needed for this show, Brian. But of course, I suspect they also had to pay, of course, Ewan McGregor, because at this time he was already world famous for Trainspotting. He'd been in The Phantom Menace. He was in Ridley Scott's Black Hawk Down. So he was very well known as a film actor at this time, as you say, Brian, a sort of film star. Of course, he also did another Danny Boyle film in 1994, Shallow Grave, where he shared a flat with, of course, Christopher Eccleston, the Ninth Doctor. So although he doesn't share any screen time with Peter Capaldi in this one, I think, but there he is. He's been in two productions with two of the canonical Doctors.
Very nice. Ruth Miller, who co-stars in this, played Shelley Queen in both Life on Mars and Ashes to Ashes. She was one of the few people who had a guest appearance in both shows. So that was quite nice. It was a nice character to have show up for a couple of episodes, and nice to see her again here with that reference.
Indeed, yes. And it's strange. We haven't seen her in more stuff, really, actually.
For sure. Solid Geometry was broadcast on ITV on October 3rd, 2002, and on Channel 4 on November 28th, 2002.
And we know it was very well reviewed by the papers because there are excerpts from the reviews on the back of the DVD case that I'm looking at now from no lesser papers in the UK than the Sunday Times, The Observer and The Guardian. So it got good reviews. And we also know it was shown at a short film festival in Canada in June 2003, the following year. So they submitted it, I suppose, as for a short film program, which is interesting.
Yes, that is interesting. And you can see from the style of this film that it would be good film festival material. So that is interesting to see that. So I think we should talk about the availability.
So this gets a bit complicated, unfortunately, because we have, in a way, inadvertently broken our own rules, because when we put it on our list and I purchased the DVD, it was available on a 2010 release and just a very plain DVD, as you can imagine, for this production, just the 25 minutes, no extras. But sadly, that now seems to be out of print and out of stock and is only available to buy secondhand. And that, at the moment, is going for about £15 over here secondhand. It's not on streaming. I can't really see why it's not on the old 4 streaming app, because it really ought to be. But it doesn't seem to be on anything streaming on this side of the pond. And I should imagine it's even more problematic over there, Brian.
Yes, there is no release in Region 1. And this is one that you'll have to find that out-of-print Region 2 DVD in order to watch it. I wonder if the fact that it was a co-production between ITV and Channel 4 is part of the reason that it's difficult for streaming. There may be contractual issues that complicate things there.
Yes, absolutely. And I dare say it's probably not well known enough to turn up on BritBox yet. Although, as ever, I've got difficulty searching the BritBox app without actually signing up. But yeah, okay, interesting. So, as I say, inadvertently broken our own rules because it no longer seems to be available, but you can find it secondhand. So, next time, we're going to talk a little bit more about the plot. We're going to compare it to a couple of other standalone TV plays that we have discussed in the past or might get to in the future that seem to deal with sort of similar design or similar themes in a way. So we got some stuff to talk about.
Absolutely. And of course, we will get into our own thoughts, our own reviews and recommendations about this one. And until then, you can find us at BritishInvaders.com or search for British Invaders on Facebook and join our group there. We always have some good discussions going on.
Yes, and you can also find us as part of the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com. Say hello to the Voice of Geeks and tell them Brian and Eamon said hi.
Absolutely. So thank you for listening. And this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much. Until next time, Eamon in England also signing off.